Hello, and welcome to our Search Mobile Computing podcast on how to be environmentally responsible with your technology. My name is Tessa Parmeter, and with me here is Craig Mathias, founder and principal of Farpoint Group.
Thank you for joining me today, Craig.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
I'd like to start our interview off by asking you a few questions about power conservation, if that's all right.
Sure.
So I'd like to know, what are the general strategies people use to conserve power in mobile devices?
Well, most of this, of the work around this, involves basic engineering. In other words, when people set out to build products, the design engineers look at all of the issues relating to power, and they have a number of techniques that they can apply. In fact, we've gotten very good at this over the years. The obvious one, of course, is use low-power components, chips and semiconductors that draw less power than alternatives, and that can be done through clever design of the part itself, as well as the process technology that's used to actually implement the chip can consume less power. Again, we've gotten very good at that over the years. Then we can design chips where we can power down components that are on the chips that are not in use at a particular moment in time, kind of a partial power down of the chip itself. And then we can even power down entire subsystems. We can turn off displays, turn off hard drives, turn off radios, things like that. And that will conserve power as well. And of course, we want to do this in an intelligent fashion so that it doesn't affect performance. That's not always easy to do, but it does work quite well in many cases. Then, when it comes to wireless, which of course is my primary area of interest, we have power-saving protocols. We can turn off a client radio, a battery-powered radio, when it has nothing to send, and it can every once in a while wake up and either check to see if there's traffic queued for it or tell the infrastructure, hey, I've got traffic to send and I'm back on now. So that's a very valid technique. We've seen some improvement in batteries over the years. Generally, batteries are evaluated according to their power-to-weight ratio, how much power they can store and how much they can release over time versus how much they weigh and, of course, how big they are. And we've gotten pretty good with battery management as well, making sure that batteries drain effectively. One of the latest developments there is a technique called supercapacitors, which acts as kind of a buffer between the battery and the circuitry that's drawing power from it. It evens out the flow of demand, and the battery will last longer. So those are the basic techniques, and of course, when we combine them all together, we can do a very effective job of making sure that we're only using energy that we absolutely have to use.
So now, do power conservation settings on notebooks and wireless devices help?
Well, that's a good question. I think if we divide it into three categories, you'll see that in some cases the answer to that is definitely yes. And there's kind of a macro case where we turn off major subsystems, as I mentioned to you before. So definitely turning off the backlight on the display, turning off the hard drive, things like that, lowering the clock rate when we're not actually doing any work. All of those can help to a very great degree. But, of course, if the hard drive is off, you can't use it. If the display is off, you can't see it. And if the processor is running slowly, it's not of great value. So these are sort of, when you're not busy, they will help you get a little bit more out of your battery. You might be able to tweak the speed of the processor in real time where you're actually working. There are some techniques that do this, and they will help a little bit. But in general, we want the highest possible performance in most cases. So you're not going to get a lot out of that. There are, you know, a number of really good questions that we can ask about, do the various power-saving modes that are in 802.11 actually help? But to some degree, we have seen that they do. Most people, of course, don't enable power management at all on their wireless LAN for fear that either they'll miss traffic or performance will be slower. And there's some evidence to support that, but the impact is really very minimal. But correspondingly, we found that given the amount of power that the rest of notebook computers draw, all that processor and disk and backlight again, turning off the radio doesn't actually save its percentage really very much power at all. Maybe a few percent here and there, but we might get longer runtime. We might even get better performance during that runtime using that technique. It really will depend upon the specific load that you put on it.
Okay. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the infrastructure side. Is there anything we can do to save power there?
Yeah, pretty much the same set of techniques. We can design with low power components. We can turn off components that are not in use at any given moment in time. I recently ran some experiments on wireless LAN infrastructure, and there we weren't really concerned about the power saving protocols and minimizing power consumption on the notebook, but rather the opposite question, as you just pointed out, minimizing the amount of power that the infrastructure consumes. And it turns out here engineers can do some very clever work and get their designs to run on lower power. Now, you might ask, why would you even bother? If you have AC power available on the infrastructure side, why would that matter? In this particular case, a vendor wanted to build a wireless LAN access point that could be powered by 802.3AF power over Ethernet. That's the current power over Ethernet standard. And it only allows a very limited amount of power. And when we start talking about using 802.11n, very modern high-performance wireless LAN systems, you might draw a lot more power than could be provided using that technique. And in fact, there is a new power over Ethernet standard that will allow a great deal more power to be made available on the wire. But nonetheless, if we can consume less power, we really should. And there's a couple of benefits here. One, the obvious one, that we can use these new access points on existing infrastructure. We don't have to upgrade our infrastructure at all in order to make that work. And then secondly, the cost of electricity is so high now, and it's almost certain to go higher, that there is a real operational expense savings if we conserve power on the infrastructure side. So we encourage clients to always look at this as a factor. It may not be the deciding factor in every case, but saving money, saving power is always a good thing.
Right, and I was going to ask you, do you save money when you're saving all this power, and is there a financial benefit?
There can be. I mean, if you had thousands of access points, and you don't have to upgrade your infrastructure to support a higher power over Ethernet capability, and those access points are drawing less power when they're in operation, so your monthly energy bill is lower, those are good things.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell me if the older notebooks should be recycled? You're talking about older software and older equipment. What else can you do with these notebooks? Can you also recycle them? And what are the other options out there?
Well, all high-tech bites the dust eventually. I've got quite a museum here in the office of obsolete notebooks that I don't use very often. And the ones that are really old, the ones from 10 years ago, are long gone. Some of them were donated to schools and libraries and senior center in town, things like that. So I definitely wouldn't shy away from donating older equipment, provided it still works and it'll be useful to someone. But when it does reach the end of its useful life, recycling is a good idea. And there are a number of organizations that will take recycled notebooks. You can check in your town, your city, to see what they will take locally. You'll find organizations that will do it. I know Dell, when you buy a new computer from them, will send you a free recycling kit. If you want, you can send the old one back. The one thing I would caution here is don't recycle your hard drive. If it had any sensitive data on it whatsoever, even if you triple erased it using the latest technology, it's still possible in some cases for data to be read. So generally what we do with hard drives is take them out of the computer and then have them destroyed separately. That's just to make sure that no data gets out. And then, of course, the remains after the destruction can be recycled. And then one other thing, you know, a lot of people look at old notebooks as being less than useful. But even in the office, you could equip them with something like VNC, virtual network computing, or Citrix software, or a variety of other thin client software, and really make them useful in a client server environment. So even though they're old computers that couldn't run the latest software, they can when they're connected to a server. So you don't necessarily have to recycle an old notebook, but I mean, let's face it, eventually everything is going to die, and it should be properly recycled at that point.
So what would your advice be on recycling batteries?
Well, when in doubt, recycle batteries. I'm always distressed to find people just tossing old batteries into the trash. Now, batteries are like any other piece of high technology. They are going to die at some point. A lot of batteries are not rechargeable at all. These are the carbon zinc cells and alkaline batteries. Those, in general, can be tossed in the trash. They're not toxic to the environment, and I don't know of any place that actually will recycle those. There may be some, but I'm unaware of them. But any other kind of battery, especially nickel-cadmium batteries, which are still very common, should be recycled. Cadmium is a toxic metal, and I cringe at the thought of how much nickel-cadmium battery material winds up in landfills every year. This is just not a good thing, because eventually it gets into the groundwater, and cadmium is very difficult to filter out. So we should not be throwing away those kinds of batteries in particular. But also, nickel metal hydride and any kind of lithium cell, these can be recycled. Often the vendor of a notebook or other device will take these batteries back to recycle them. They're not really worth anything. You're not going to get any money for them, but it will definitely keep them out of landfills. And they can be recycled to some degree and will probably save some energy in the long run. So just in the interest of saving the environment and minimizing the amount of trash, batteries should always be recycled wherever possible.
Well, thank you for all of that.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This concludes our podcast on how to be environmentally responsible with your technology. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a great day.